Welcome to the Time We Have podcast, presented to you by Motor Neuron Disease, New South Wales. MND New South Wales acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land we live on. We pay our respects to all elders, past and present, of all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander nations.
To lose that independence, that is hard. Not easy to cope with, you just have to accept it along the line there somewhere.
Hello and a very warm welcome to the MND New South Wales podcast, The Time We Have. My name is Sabine Krajewski and I am part of the education team at MND New South Wales. Every few weeks, I will be speaking to a person who is in some way connected to motor neuron disease. Today, my guest is Frances Murphy. She is 73, loves travel and spending time with family and good friends. In 2018, Fran was diagnosed with MND, which is a progressive neurodegenerative disease that affects the voluntary muscles in the body. Welcome, Fran, and thank you so much for having this very first podcast conversation with me.
Yeah. Oh, hello, Sabine. No, that's fine. Looking forward to it.
So we're not sitting together in the same room. I'm no. In my home office in Sydney with a nice cappuccino. How about you? Whereabouts are you?
I'm in our very messy study up in Lake Macquarie, where we live now, up in Lake Macquarie, a place called Dora Creek. It's where the creek it joins the lake. So we've got the water out the front and things like that. Yeah, it's lovely.
Sounds beautiful and no one is going to see your messy office.
That's good, isn't it?
So I would like to get to know you a little bit. If you can tell us a bit about where you grew up, where you went to school, maybe.
Right. Well, I actually grew up in the Kurrajong Hills on a orchard and a poultry farm with my mum and dad. I'm a single child, so I had a wonderful life up there, you know, lovely fresh fruit and lovely fresh eggs. And mum also had a very big veggie garden. So, you know, I had all the best of foods. And then from there, I went to school at a local, at Richmond, which is a bigger town. Kurrajong is just a bit of a village. Mm-hmm. And I went into Richmond for school for my schooling, where I went from kindergarten through to my HSC. And then after I left school, fortunately, I had a job within a week. I was lucky at the St John of God Psychiatric Hospital, which is also in Richmond. Yeah. And I knew a lot of the people there. They were a bit desperate for somebody to come and answer the phone over the holiday period and said, would I go in and help out? And I said, oh, yes, that's fine. And then I ended up staying there for about 7 years, just in the general admission, you know. I sort of went from opening the letters to being the secretary there. So that was a wonderful experience. And then, of course, I decided, oh, no, it's time to do something different. So I packed the bags, first time I'd left home, and went to London for a couple of years.
Okay, and so your love for travel started early.
Started, oh, yeah. Yeah. It actually, before then, I'd had a quick trip to New Zealand. Yeah. Just with a girlfriend. So the trip off to the UK, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do. I thought, oh, well, I might work, or I might travel. And I had relatives over there, so that was great. I had, you know, a base. So I was there for 2 years where I actually worked in London. And but I was able to travel through Europe, you know, Scandinavia, North Africa, and saw a lot of wonderful countries and quite a few friends. So it was a wonderful experience. And then I thought, oh, I probably should go home, you know, and catch up with my mum. But I was going to go back, you know. Yeah. Anyway, I returned to Australia and I ended up getting a job fairly quickly. And it was the Children's Hospital when it was down at Pyrmont. It's now out of Westmead. And I was there a few months and then I actually got an appointment with... It's now Australia Telecom, but it was the PMG. Mm-hmm. And then a few weeks after I joined, they split. You had your postal and your Telecom. So I joined Telecom Australia, and that's where I did a lot of sales and customer service work there. Now, I was in that job for about 13 years. And then during that time, I got married and obviously didn't get back to the UK like I had planned.
So you met John at some point.
Then I met John. Your husband? Yeah. I met John while I was working there. Yeah. And after a few years of going together, we got married.
Mm-hmm.
And then quite a few years later, I then had a young child. I had a young girl, Gillian, my mm-hmm. daughter Gillian. You know, then I gave up work and was happy at home there for quite a few years. And that was my life, sort of looking after my daughter and doing lots of different things with her and with my friends who also had children. You know, we'd go to the library, we'd go to the parks a lot. Unfortunately, John's work also meant that he had to travel around Australia a bit. So Gillian and I used to tag along in the and have a wonderful time looking at all these new places.
What did John do?
He was a national catering manager in the training side of it.
Yeah.
National training manager, that's right, for a large catering company.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he'd be down to Victoria or South Australia. He used to go to places like the Argyle Diamond Mine in WA.
Yeah.
But we just went to Perth with him and we stayed in Perth while he did all that thing. So, you know, more travelling and, you know, sort of a wonderful thing to do with a young child.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Gillian got into high school, I thought, well, you know, you're not as useful, are you? You become a bit redundant. So I decided to go and do a TAFE course.
Yeah.
And so then I returned to work. I got a job and I was then working in the school system.
Mm-hmm.
And in very the local
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lovely job. Mm-hmm. It was mm-hmm. A, good hours, B, you had the school holidays. And I was, you know, the front, sort of like a front counter receptionist where you're dealing with the parents, also looking after the first day with the kids and working mm-hmm. with the teachers. It was it was a lovely job. I just loved it.
And your daughter has become an OT, right? She's a
and in the meantime, Gillian did well at school, went to university, and she is now an OT herself.
Yeah.
Just on maternity leave at the moment. She's had her second little one when was this? April last year.
Uh-huh.
But she's planning to go back to work.
So you have two grandchildren.
So we've got two grandsons, yes.
Yeah.
The eldest one will be 3 in May and the youngest will be 1 in April.
So. They're only just little dots still.
Yeah, but they're that's gorgeous, wonderful. You know, growing up far too quickly.
Yeah.
I was quite happy working. As I say, I loved the school job. It allowed us to travel and have holidays every 10 weeks.
And then in 2018, you started having problems with your hands. What kind of changes did you notice?
Mid-2018, I started to get my fingers were very knobbly like my mum's, and I thought, oh, this arthritis is not getting, you know, the best.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to get it checked. And oh no, they thought I had severe arthritis, but I was also getting weak in the arms, which like a lot of people, you just put down, oh, it's old age. So I took up yoga to try to get a bit of strength in the arms, but that didn't really work. And I thought, this isn't really going anywhere. So I went back to the doctors and.
So you went to your GP first of
just
all,
to
right?
The GP.
Just to see, yeah, okay.
Yeah, who the GP actually mm-hmm. had left, the girl, the doctor that I was seeing had left, and there was another doctor there.
Mm-hmm.
So she just looked at my records and asked me a few questions, and then she suggested that I go and see a neurologist, which was a bit of a shock. When you've got pains in your fingers, you're not expecting to go, well, I wasn't, to go and see a neurologist.
No,
so she sent me off to the wonderful Professor Steve Vukic,
mm-hmm.
who turned out to be an absolute gem of a person, and I really have a lot of respect for him. So he sent me off to a variety of tests and X-rays. And
but that means that your doctor was very, very quick thinking that it might be something neurological. It? Yeah, that was very quick.
Because so often, I believe, with MND,
yeah.
Some people can have it a long time before it's ever diagnosed because a lot of doctors haven't come across it.
Exactly.
It's
difficult to diagnose because you just have to rule out other diseases. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. As I said, you when you look, and my mother had severe arthritis. And her fingers were shocking, but she could still do things. She still had the power in the fingers, and that's why I was convinced it was severe arthritis. So,
Yeah,
it does, doesn't it? So gave me lots of tests and things like that,
yeah.
Which was quite foreign to me, because I might add at this stage, apart from having a child, I'd never been in hospital.
Yeah.
And I've been lucky all my life. I've had really good health.
That's all the good fruit that you had when you were a child.
Living on the farm, I mean, apart from the odd measles and chicken pox, which every child gets, I'd sort of, you know, never really experienced anything particularly unusual. So then when was it? Oh, my last appointment with him was sort of, I think, about, it was about 2 weeks before Christmas, so that December 2018. So, and the final diagnosis, he said, look, unfortunately, you've got motor neuron disease.
And
then had to try to explain to me what it was, because...
Did you know, that, did that mean anything to you?
So, no, I didn't sort of thing. The only thing I, actually, John knew a bit about it, because he said, oh, there's all these big fundraisers in Melbourne, because a lot of footballers and sports people have got this MND. But that's all I really knew about it. You know? So he's explained it all to me and went, you know, through a lot. As you can imagine, I only took in half what he was saying. I was in a bit of, a lot of shock, actually, I must admit.
Of course you were,
And, but straight away, he said to me, right, now, I'm going to send you down to the MND clinic at St. Joseph's at Alban, where you'll be working with, you know, people with allied health and things like that.
Can I just ask before we before we continue? So altogether, how long did it take for you to get that diagnosis?
Say in the winter of 2018 is when the fingers were really hurting. Because winter and arthritis go together, you know? And then the weakness. So from July till this sort of, when did I go back to the doctor? I went back to the doctor in about August, I think. August, September. Then I went to all the tests, but the final
Roughly half a year to get the diagnosis,
Bits and pieces and tests and stuff, you know. But in the meantime, I was fine. I was still driving. I was still working, doing everything I should have done, you know. But just noticing that certain things were a bit harder to lift or to do, you know, with my with my hand.
So this is now... It's not 5 years, it's 4 years, right? Because we're only...
Well, I'm coming up to 5 years this Christmas. It's interesting. John has learned a lot about the disease. Fortunately, being referred to the MND Association was just the best thing, because straight away, John went and did a carer's course very quickly. So he learned a lot about the disease and what to expect and, you know, and in turn how to look after me. Which is proved
when you incredible. when you first had the diagnosis, did you were you able to talk about it with family and friends right away?
I did very soon after that. I think I was still at work, for example. They all knew I was having tests at work, so I went to work, and of course everyone says, oh, how's everything going? So my boss was the principal of the school. So I had a talk to her, and I told her about it. And believe it or not, she knew all about it. She had knowledge. And she was very supportive, the principal. And she said, Fran, I'll leave it up to you when to tell people. And said,
I mean, you said you had a big shock. So how did other people react around you?
I think, well, believe it or not, well, she knew a bit about it. But a lot of people, like when I gradually, fairly soon after I was diagnosed, I told girlfriends and different people. I said, a lot of my friends knew I was having tests, and they all say, so what's happening, Fran, you know?
They would.
Quite a few of them had no idea. So I tried to explain it to them, but I think a lot of them then went home and Googled.
Which is what all of us do, right? If somebody
if you don't know something.
Yeah,
so I think that's how a lot of them found out. I didn't worry about telling them. I just said, I've got MND. And because bear in mind, at this stage, all I'm still suffering is weakness in my fingers and my arms a bit tired. But I was still doing everything. So I don't think even though it was a shock to be told that, I don't think it really sort of gelled in my brain what the future was going to hold. And that, if that makes sense.
So when you told people, they were supportive of you, and the person in school was supportive.
They were great. The principal was good. Yeah. And then
she was still working.
Yeah, I was still back at work. Yeah. And she said, if you have to go to appointments or anything like that, plus Professor Vukic put me on a trial of a drug that they were doing at Westmead.
Yeah.
And I told her that. And she said, look, if you've got to go to hospital for anything, to the doctor appointment, you just go, you know. Yeah. So she was fantastic. And then and there was no drama with my fellow and people that I work with.
Did you, at that point, you were still working and then you get this diagnosis. Did you have an idea or a plan for retirement? Did you have
an idea of what
you wanted to do?
Well, if you can imagine, at that stage, I went back to school and I just had my 69th birthday.
Right.
I'd always planned to probably retire at 70 because it was a type of job in a school that, you know, age isn't important so long as you've got the energy and you enjoy it, you know, like a lot of jobs.
Yeah, so, and it's part of a social connection as well.
That's right. So I had planned to work through to 70. Mm-hmm. And so I went back in the January of 2019, you know, carrying on as normal. But obviously, and then the other thing was I felt to myself, right, get this bucket list out, because there was lots of things that John and I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. We wanted to go to China. We wanted to go to Alaska. We wanted to go to Canada.
Yeah.
And they were the sort of the last few countries we wanted. So I had the decision. I mean, I was coping quite well at work, but a couple of things started to happen, you know, like if I had to get anything off a shelf, I had to ask somebody, could you come and get this off the shelf for me? Because I couldn't, you know, grab things as well. I was still using the computer, no trouble there, and I was still driving. But a few things became a bit difficult. And actually a girlfriend at work said to me, Fran, you know, don't keep working if there's lots of things you want to do, sort of thing, you know. I said, oh, I'm okay. And she said, look, you know, don't forget, you've got a lot of things you still want to do. And I thought about it. John and I thought, well, we do want to do more travelling before this deteriorates. And, of course, you don't know if it's going to be like overnight or next month, next year sort of thing. The first term out of 2019 and then May, June, you know, I told the principal that I would retire. Unfortunately, I had to retire that 6 months earlier, which I didn't want to have to do. I did want to go on, but the reality is you've got to weigh up what's going to happen and what did we still want to do.
Yeah, what do you want to do with your time? Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And not knowing, no one says to you now you've got 6 months, 6 years, whatever. You just don't know. So I retired and then off we went.
You still you have the same passions and hobbies, but just you have to adjust a bit, right?
Well, the thing is, like, I loved a lot of my hobbies were like I was an outdoor person.
Yeah.
Because I love my gardening and the traveling and being up on the lake here, we also for years now we have a boat, so we like going fishing and boating.
Okay.
And instead of all these outdoor things that I just loved. So by retiring, it would leave more time to do that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's why we finished up sort of thing.
So when you get around in your home, you don't have any issues, any problems? And I think you have a stair lift in your house?
Yes. So as
but it somehow doesn't do what you need? Or
well, I've got the chair lift. Yeah. We ended up just going and buying one because I was having difficulty and to save my energy. But because I'm obviously deteriorating with nearly 5 years, that the bottom of the stairs, when I get off it, I'm sort of hanging on and, you know, it's a bit strenuous. Okay. So we've ordered a new one, which is going to be installed on the 1st of March, believe it or not, where it goes down the stairs and around the bottom onto the front foyer.
Oh, I see. So it just didn't take you far enough, the one?
No.
I see. Yeah.
Things you don't know. I mean, when we had it put in, the company said, oh, do you want to look at this one? And I thought, oh, we don't need that.
Yeah.
You know, I can walk up one step to sit on a seat. Mm-hmm. But as time's progressed,
that was
harder. So, that goes in on the 1st of March. So that'll be a great help. We've had to obviously adjust a few things. For example, the house we have on the lake is an elevated house, so I've got steps. So, but 2019 just, you know, was fine. As I said, I was still getting around quite well. I had to give up my I gave up my license, I think, 2020.
Yeah.
But everything was still much the same. Then, of course, along came COVID. Now, that was a big blow, in fact.
Of course, yeah. That would stop all your travel plans. And...
Well, but not only that, I couldn't go to the MND meetings.
Okay, yeah, true, that too.
You know, the MND clinic had to sort of, well, it didn't shut down, but, you know, it started all these Zoom meetings, which for me, they weren't the best way to go. I mean, it was better than nothing, I suppose. But to me, it's...
They're not the same. Your face-to-face is always better, definitely.
Personal interaction and things like that are much better for me. So that was, you know, and also being a bit isolated, see, because we all had to, even though we were up here, we could travel around locally, or like we went up the North Coast and stuff like that, but we couldn't sort of get back to Sydney to see friends and family. So,
yeah, absolutely difficult. Yeah,
COVID was a real, you know, disaster for me because, and we'd also booked, as I said, we were going to travel. So, John and I booked this ocean cruise we were going to go on,
yeah,
and then we also had a trip booked for Fiji. All in 2020, you know, thinking, well, I've still got reasonable health.
And none of that happened,
Well, of course, 2 weeks before the cruise, the company said, sorry, you know, here's your money back. They're all being cancelled.
And the cruises are notorious for spreading
COVID. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Very good that you didn't get on a cruise.
Yeah, so they gave me all the money back. And then my trip to Fiji, well, it got put on hold for a credit, which fortunately we were able to go and do last year in May.
Okay,
but in that 2 years, you see, I'd gone from being able to walk around, you know, and use my hands reasonably well to by the time then we got to go to Fiji, well, the best way for me to get around was put me in a wheelchair.
Okay, yeah.
So things really ruined, you know. John and I call it a wrecking ball.
You call it what?
We called it the wrecking ball, COVID.
Oh, okay.
It just ruined everything, you know.
Yeah. Fran, what do you find most challenging on your MND journey?
I was going to mention to you with the MND, I think the main factors that I've experienced is it's the loss of mobility.
Yeah.
The loss of my driving license. I mean, I was a person that I did all the driving, actually. I love driving.
Yeah.
And to lose that was terrible. And of course, the loss of your independence—that is a big thing. I've been a very independent person all my life, as was my mum. My dad died when I was 10, so you know, mum and I became very independent. You have to just do things yourself, don't you? And to lose that independence—that is hard. That is hard. Not easy to cope with. You just have to accept it along the line there somewhere.
You mentioned that you were very quickly in touch with MND New South Wales.
Yes.
You get supports from there as well?
Straight away. Well, Professor Steve, I said, that was before I left his room that terrible day. He said, here you are, you've got to ring these people.
Yeah.
And that straight away. So we did. And as I said, and then very quickly, in 2019, John was doing the carers course while I was still working. And I think, you know, that was the best thing ever.
Yeah.
And John keeps talking about that every time we go to an MND meeting.
Yeah.
It was just different things that he learnt there and that he took notice of or wrote notes. He's sort of watching with me and stuff like that. And it was excellent, I must admit. And he just got a lot of support from the association, and actually, you know, sort of got on really well.
You also just got a life enhancement grant from MND New South Wales this month.
Yes, I did.
Tell me about that.
Oh, that's that wonderful Shannon.
Your advisor, Shannon. Yes.
We have a wonderful advisor up here. Because I'll just to explain, I was going to the Western Sydney meetings. They got cancelled. So then we've moved everything up to the to the Hunter area, you know, and this is where I've come in contact with Shannon. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, she's arranging all sorts of things for me and got me sort of involved with the MND clinic up at the John Hunter Hospital.
Yeah.
Which is working out extremely well. I've sort of seeing everybody and beautiful, beautiful people and doctors and up there, I must admit, they've all been wonderful with me and helping me through this sort of journey, you might say.
Yeah.
But a lot of it all goes back to Shannon. She was the one that she said, right, you know, I'll get a referral from this one, this one, this one for you. And then she also recommended me to go to a rehabilitation place in Toronto, where I can go to the gym, and I'm working with allied health people there who are just lovely.
Excellent. Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, talk about the multidisciplinary team, and you have one,
the clinic as well. Mm-hmm. And it's all, funnily enough, it, as well as going for medical reasons to be tested and checked and everything, it's quite a social thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward particularly to the MND meetings. They're every 2 months. I wish they were every month, but I know everybody's got a lot of demands. But
the meetings with them, which ones are they?
The MND meetings that we do.
Is it the support group you're talking about?
The support group,
Yes. Okay, cool. Yeah.
They're just fantastic, and we really look forward to those.
You still haven't told me what you're going to do with the grant.
We're going to Yamba.
Hey, okay.
You know where that is? Up on the north coast,
yeah.
We leave on Thursday.
Yeah. See, those grants, MND New South Wales has those grants available because of generous donations from the public. It's fantastic.
That was wonderful. Mm-hmm. I mean, we felt we really needed a holiday, and I'd been looking at it, and I did find out where we go to this lovely caravan park. We haven't been for a few years. They have an accessible cabin, you know, designed for wheelchairs and the biggest shower and everything. We thought, great, you know, this is what we need. And then Shannon arranged for me to get that. And thank you very much. We're looking forward to our little holiday now.
That sounds great. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you all about it next time I talk to you.
That'll be good. My last question to you has to do with the title of the MND New South Wales podcast, The Time We Have. So what would you say at the moment is most important to you? What do you find important to spend time on?
It is a hard one because, as I said, I'm very limited and I'm reliant on John. Mm-hmm. I still get out in the garden, but only, you know, when he's there, because the problem is I'm getting weaker and I don't want to fall over because I have had a few falls.
Right.
And it's hard for John to pick me up.
Mm.
So if he's out in the garden weeding or doing something in the veggie garden, I just go out there and stand and direct, you know, give suggestions and things like that. We go out, probably once or twice during the week, we'll go out somewhere for coffee and, you know, we found a lovely bakehouse nearby. So we'll go there and watch the water and maybe go out for meal. Not too regularly, but once a fortnight we'll do that. Or occasionally we've had a few trips away, like just overnighters where I've gone with a girlfriend and her husband. They come with us. We went to Mudgee.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
Yeah, we went to Mudgee and then we went to Dubbo just a few months ago to the zoo there. So we'll do that. A lot of my friends are still in Sydney, you know, I do miss them. But when I'm at home, we try to go back to Sydney quite regularly to see the grandsons. And when I'm back there, I catch up with the girlfriends and they come and pick me up and, you know, get me in the car and out the car and we go out for lunch or something like that.
It's good to have good friends, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And
really, like, really important. Yeah.
And they ring me. I usually get a phone call once a week, and then another girlfriend, she nearly rings me every second day, or whatever she's doing, she's sending me photographs because we both enjoy the gardens and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, friends and the family as well, you know, are scattered around a bit, sort of thing. But we hear from them weekly, which is great. And my daughter does a lot of FaceTiming with the two little ones so that we keep in touch.
Oh, cute. Yeah, lovely. Yeah. So it's still getting out and about and just enjoying other people, your family and your friends. And
we'll go shopping and sometimes I get out of the car and I'll sort of push a trolley around with John, or other times if I'm too tired, I just sit in the car, you know. I'm happy to just sit there, but I try to get out, you know, if he's going out.
Friend, thank you very much for spending this time with me and with our listeners this afternoon. It was such a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Have I told you enough?
Just about.
Oh, it's been lovely.
MND New South Wales is funded largely by the generosity of community members, with only around 10 to 15% being received from government funding. If you'd like to donate, please go to www.mndnsw.org.au/donate or give MND New South Wales a call and one of our friendly staff will assist you. Check out our website for more information at www.mndnsw.org.au or call the MND New South Wales info line on 1800 777 175.